Blog Talk Radio.
Solomon's ancestors. Yo,
yo, what's up, back. Son?
What's up, kid?
What's going on, kid?
Yo, man, I'm just doing my thing, man.
The New York Times side, staying alive was no job at second hand. Moms bounced on old man, so then we moved to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the gold tooth. Low goose, only way I begin to G off is drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one.
All right, welcome into the Chip Williams podcast. I am the host of the podcast, Chip Williams, and today we are going to be joined by one of my good buddies, one of our favorite guests. He's a returner to the Chip Williams podcast. He is Jonah Jordan. Jonah Jordan, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm splendid. Why are you just all right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I just got out of class. I'm just all right after class.
Fair enough. You ready to do this thing?
Absolutely.
All right, so let's tell the people what we're doing. So we obviously are both we're big fans of what Bill Simmons does. And every once in a while I'll try to pluck something from what he does and try to incorporate it into my own work, which you'd be silly not to because the man just bought like a $3 million mansion in L.A. So he knows a little bit about what he's doing. So what we're going to do is every week starting this week, we're going to be guessing the college football lines. Basically, you and I, we're just going to pick the biggest, I don't know, six or seven games each week. We're going to include the Memphis and the Tennessee games each week for local purposes. And probably pretty SEC-heavy slate each week. But, you know, there are going to be big games from all around the country. And you and I, we're going to basically guess what we think the line is going to be. It's basically a way for us to gamble on gambling. I don't know. We're basically going to try to figure out if we're smarter than Vegas or not. I don't know. We're going to invent new ways to gamble. So this week I have our picks here ready. You got them in front of you or you need me to read them all off for you?
You read them all off for me.
All right. So we'll start with UT in Florida. You had 2.5. Why just 2.5? UT minus 2.5.
I don't understand why they were favored. It was started out at 10 and it kind of moved down a little bit. I don't understand why Tennessee would ever be favored by double digits. They've got injuries on the defense. Their best two or three defensive players are injured. The defense is still going to be nasty, but a little less. Even though Florida can't throw the ball, Tennessee can't either. Florida's run defense is good. That game's going to be like 9-7.
Yeah, it probably is. It's probably going to be super low scoring. I had it at 9.5. It's actually 6. So you and I actually split this. We were both 3.5 points off. I had it high mostly because right before – so we send these picks to each other on Sunday. So right before we were going to do that, it had started to come out that Luke Del Rio, Florida's quarterback, probably wasn't going to play. So I initially thought UT would probably be around a touchdown, and then with Del Rio being out, I thought, well, you know, that we could see that line jump up to maybe – I don't know, 8-9 points, and it actually opened at 10, like you mentioned. So if we had got it at the opening, I would have been good, but it's actually sitting at 6 right now. So you and I split that one. We tie the first one. You mentioned it, though, Tennessee, a lot of injuries. I'm a Tennessee fan, so it's not fair for me to comment, but how do you feel about Tennessee's chances of breaking the 11-year streak this year?
I think I think it's going to be agonizing. Tennessee fans are going to not have a fun time until the end. I mean,
First of all, Tennessee fans never have fun. We never have. It's always agonizing. It's always terrible.
It's going to be even more agonizing this week, especially since Florida. I mean, they haven't looked solid this season except for the one half against Virginia Tech. Josh Dobbs is going to be running and get hit hard. If he gets out of the game, I don't know what they'll do. They're just going to have to pound it with Hurd and Kamara. Here's the thing. If my theory for this game, you give the ball to Kamara 15 times, you win the game. He gets the ball less than 15 times, there's no way you're winning.
I do think there's something to that. But, hey, if Josh Dobbs gets hurt, you know what's going on? It's Jared Guantanamo time. Guantanamo Bay. They're opening the floodgates. Let the freshmen play, baby. Jared Guantanamo.
My God.
No, I would actually, I would be not happy if Jared Guantanamo, they blew his red shirt because, like, look, he's your starting quarterback for the next 4 years. So just sit him down. If he gets hurt, you can put Sherrian Jones in there. Sherrian Jones won them the Virginia Tech game without even taking a snap.
Absolutely.
So he was fun on the sidelines. I think it was Herbstreit. Herbstreit loved Sherrian Jones. So if Herbstreit,
he was going
Herbstreit
crazy
loved
over.
You, I'd say he was. So I will say UT, not a great history against Florida backup quarterback. So maybe it's good if Del Rio does end up playing. I don't know. Every year it seems like their starter gets hurt, and then all of a sudden here's Treon Harris or whoever, Jacoby Brissett, or I don't know, some random random guy. It's not good. But you for sure think Tennessee gonna win? Would you lay six?
I already did. I did a lot.
Okay. If you want to do this, this feels teaser to me. You just pick them, you know, you just tease it down to zero, throw it in the pick 'em. Don't you think?
Yeah. I also would not blame anyone for taking Florida and
no
in a parlay, which is maybe something I may do too, because I love parlays.
No,
you know, I love parlays.
That's why you have no money.
No, I mean, I've won a couple this season. My problem is 2 to 3 team parlays are fine. I found out, like, I can do those. But
yeah,
when I start getting into, like, the 5-team range and I start mixing NFL and NCAA, it gets bad and real fast.
Yeah, it does. It always sounds like such a good idea. Like, hey, if I throw $5 on this, I'll win $26,000. So, surely that's going to happen. Like, there's a reason your $5 bet will pay out $26,000 or whatever. If it wins, because it ain't going to hit. It's just not happening. So, all right, so you and I, we split the first one. Second game, Georgia travels to Ole Miss and Oxford. To me, this kind of feels like a prove-it game. Like, are these teams good? They're both ranked in the top 25. Ole Miss, barely. I mean, they've lost, in fairness, they've lost to two very good teams, in Alabama and Florida State. But I don't know that they're good. I don't know that Georgia's good. Ole Miss lost a lot off of a very good team from last year. Georgia, obviously a new head coach. They don't know what's going on with the quarterback. This is a prove-it-to-me game for one of these teams. If they both look like crap, then maybe we just write them off and say they're both not very good this year. You had Ole Miss -4. Why?
I'm not a big believer in Georgia right now, but I'm not a big believer in either one of these teams. So, and I doubt Vegas is either. So I figured Ole Miss would probably be a field goal at least favorite. So I went a little above that. I did not have a good feel for this game. I still kind of don't, even though I took a bet on Georgia because I hate everything that Ole Miss has done up to this point in this season. I don't know. I didn't have a good feel for it.
Fair enough. I had Ole Miss -5. And I know that, you know, we're kind of modeling this after what Bill did. Bill calls anywhere from 4, I think it's 4 to 6.5 the Vegas zone, because none of those are really, or maybe it's 4 to 5.5 the Vegas zone. So we both just kind of toss these in the Vegas zone because they're not football scores. You know, it's not normal to win by 5, or it's not normal to win by 4.
No.
So I had Ole Miss -5. It's Ole Miss -7. So I take that one. I was much like you. I don't have a high opinion of Georgia. I don't have a super high opinion of Ole Miss, but in fairness, they've lost to, like we said, two really good football teams, one of them on the road against Florida State and then one of them at home against Alabama. So I knew that they'd be a favorite. I just didn't know that if Vegas was going to give them a full touchdown, and they did. So I win. I win by 2, but we were close. I mean, you and I were pretty much aligned in our thinking on that one. We'll see. You said just you took Georgia plus a touchdown, though.
Yeah, I don't have very much confidence in Swag Kelly right now. And then on top of that is Ole Miss cannot run the ball. They lost Jordan Wilkins because of an administrative error, and they haven't had a run game all season. On top of the fact that
what does that mean?
Swag Kelly has thrown interception. What? An administrative error? Somebody messed up the transcript. And
so they're not
going
to let the kids play football?
No. Somebody, it was his, like, we have an advisor at, you know, Memphis, right? We go to and talk to me and you talk to an advisor on Monday. Came up clutch. Shout out Dr. Hott. And then, so his advisor messed up his hours or messed up a class, and now he's ineligible. I would be so mad. I would transfer from Ole Miss if I were him.
Wow. Yeah. It's, I don't know. You know, that was a really good Ole Miss team last year. A really good Ole Miss team that got pounded by Memphis, but regardless, a really good Ole Miss team. I don't know. I mean, they have talent, but it's, I don't know. It's tough to say because Georgia, again, has talent. First-year head coach. Don't know what's going on at quarterback. One of the best running backs in the country. It's so hard to predict what's going to happen there.
I think this
we'll
is
going to
be
another
low-scoring
one. It's going
to be another low-scoring
really
one.
Well,
all
I think
the
it
SEC
has to be for Georgia because I don't know if they can score a lot.
Yeah. Well, Spencer Hall talked about this on SB Nation Snapchat this morning. He said LSU-Auburn, which we're going to get to in a minute, is going to be one of those old-fashioned SEC games where it's low-scoring with bad quarterback play. And I'm saying all of the SEC games tomorrow that we're going to see on Saturday are going to be exactly like that. Four in Tennessee, poor quarterback play. There, you're going to pound the ball, defensive game with low scoring. And I think Ole Miss Georgia is going to be the same way. I don't think either one of those teams will win by a touchdown.
Fair enough. So, yeah, if that's your feeling, you grab the touchdown then, right? You just take the seven, you grab it and pray. So, let's go to Wisconsin, Michigan State. So you and I, we do picks every week for the Daily Helmsman with some we started last week, which I guess you and I, we have a theme of just kind of starting things like in the middle of the season or, you know, well into the season. I like to say we're just
feeling
week it one out. We're kind of seeing how things went.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's easier what you do in the NFL. Like, I'll play along with Sal and Bill and their BS or their picks. The NFL picks, trying to guess the line, and it's pretty easy because, like, from year to year, NFL teams don't become awesome or terrible. From year to year, college teams do become awesome or terrible. I mean, literally, all it takes is one. There's so much turnover in college football, it's tough to stay awesome year after year. So it's hard to predict what that line is going to be, especially the first couple weeks of the season. So, if anyone asks, yeah, that's what it was. We were figuring things out the first few weeks. So Wisconsin, Michigan State, like I said, we do the picks for the Helmsman. Last week, Michigan State got a huge win over Notre Dame. You picked Notre Dame, and you vowed to me, you would never bet against Mark D'Antonio again, and that's the smartest thing I've ever heard you say.
Never again. I was so mad. I don't know what caused me to think Notre Dame was going to win that game. I guess their quarterback kind of has won me over the past few years. I really like that guy. But massive mistake. Just lost me money. Well, I was so mad on Saturday night.
I don't blame you. At what point do Notre Dame fans get tired of 9-3 where they lose all three good teams? Oh, they lose against all three of the good teams they play and then beat up on nine mediocre teams.
About the same time Tennessee fans do.
That's a good response. fair enough. I have nothing else to say. So you had this line, Michigan State -8. You went a little bit high. Why? Were you overcompensating for betting against D'Antonio? Were you saying, I'm really sorry, here's I'll give you a lot of respect?
It's that, and I'm not a huge believer in Wisconsin. Wisconsin shot up in the rankings after beating a bad LSU team, and then they lost last week to – oh, man, I cannot remember who they lost to off the top of my head. But I'm just – I think people overreacted, and now they're going to start balancing out, and I do not think they're anywhere close to as good as Michigan State.
So you think Michigan State's better than a touchdown favorite?
Yeah.
They should be, at least. So I'm assuming you probably are. You're gonna take the points then. Excuse me, you're gonna lay the
points.
Yeah,
I already took Michigan State. I already took Michigan
State. Okay.
Yeah, I had Wisconsin beat LSU, and then has played two cupcakes in Akron and Georgia State. They haven't lost yet, and now they have to play Michigan State at home, Michigan at home, and then versus Ohio State. We're going to see them go 0-3 over the next 3 weeks.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, and they barely beat Georgia State, right? Wasn't it, like, right at a touchdown or less?
23-17.
Yeah, so right at a touchdown, or a little bit less than a touchdown even.
Yeah.
So the spread this week is 6. I had it at 5, so I take that one. I tossed this one in the Vegas zone. I almost went Michigan State by a full touchdown, but I kind of was like, yeah, we'll throw it at 5 and see where it is. It's 6. So not quite a touchdown. Again, I would feel very comfortable as long as this thing sits under 7, laying the points of Michigan State. I'm like you. I have no idea if Wisconsin's good. I'm not sure that they are. And it's one of those things that I've kind of learned is every year if you just bet on Michigan State being pretty good, you're going to be fine. And I feel totally comfortable riding with Mark D'Antonio in a big game like this because he's won so many big games over the last few years. So right now after 3 games, I'm currently up 2-0-1. So we've tied one. I've won 2. You haven't won any. But you got
You're
some winners
cheating.
Coming up. Don't worry. Don't. no, I never cheat. I've just perfected my craft.
True. I'll give
Arkansas
you that.
Arkansas and A&M. Fair enough. Arkansas and A&M are playing in Dallas at Jerry World, I believe. This would be a fun game. This is like, I feel like this should be a rival or a rivalry that's going to develop into one. And it's one of those teams, it's almost like the Georgia Ole Miss, where I need both these teams to prove to me that they're good. I bet against A&M last week. I actually thought that they might lose straight up at Auburn because I thought, you know, Malzahn's probably going to be coaching for his job. And these players, if they have any respect for Malzahn, they're going to be playing like the guy's coaching for his job. And they just didn't care. It was Malzahn's done. Like, yeah, write him off. He's out of here. Probably it would not surprise me if sometime this season if they take a bad loss, they decide that they're going to move on from Gus Malzahn. But A&M might be kind of good. I don't know. This is a game where I think Arkansas is pretty good. You had it. A&M -2.5. Why?
I love Arkansas. I love Brett. I love what they've done this season. I thought A&M would be favored, which I think they are, because they have that win over UCLA and Auburn. But I don't know if they're good. Like you said, I don't know if either one of these teams are good. Arkansas beat TCU,
right,
and it barely beat Louisiana Tech at the beginning of this season. But I'm a huge believer in Bielema. I love him. I think I sent you the picture after they won me money against TCU. I'm a huge fan of what they're doing over there. They can run the ball. That offensive line is nasty. Austin Allen is really good. I love that team. Not a big believer in Texas A&M because they beat UCLA, but UCLA isn't good. Like I have no confidence in them being good at all for the rest of the season. And like you said, Auburn stinks too. So we'll see.
Yeah, Auburn's not good. They're done. Malzahn's done. That team's checked out.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
I will say, they gave a home – well, yeah, we will. That's fair. We'll save it. I agree. You know, football teams a lot of times take on the persona of their football coach, and I think no team is better evidence of that than Arkansas. They're just all a bunch of big, disgusting-looking linemen that just bowl over you for 4 quarters and run the ball. And their quarterback can never, ever throw it. But for some reason, he ends up throwing for 250 yards every game. Their receivers are always super athletic, and they've always got one running back that's amazing. Their defense is always tough. Like, it's just they completely embody what Brett Bielema is as a human being. And at the end of the day, they end up pretty good. And at the end of the day, Brett Bielema probably has the most attractive wife of any SEC football coach. So I'm very impressed with Arkansas. I'm not so impressed with A&M, but I did favor A&M by 7.5 in this one, just because I think that Vegas, for whatever reason, really likes A&M year in and year out. It seems like they give a lot of respect to them ever since the Johnny Football era. So I went a little bit high. It was 5.5. You were off by 3. I was off by 2. So I do barely take that. But, you know, this feels like one of those where if you want to throw A&M in a teaser, I'd be okay with it. If you wanted to take Arkansas plus 5.5, that's a lot of points. So I'd probably be okay with either one of those. I would not feel comfortable laying it, though.
I don't bet. As a rule, I've come to find out that betting on Trevor Knight is a bad idea. Trevor Knight and Kevin Sumlin, it's not a good combination to bet on. So I'm staying away. I put it on Brett. He's won me money so far this season. The 5.5, I'm comfortable with it. I feel like this is going to be a shootout. I don't have any confidence in Trevor Knight.
Is Kevin Sumlin a good football coach?
We have no evidence to suggest the fact that he is a good football coach. I mean, terrible.
He was good at Houston. He was good at Houston.
Well,
I don't know that he's good at A&M,
though. SEC football. Maybe he's not a good SEC football coach. The SEC is a different animal.
Like, and a lot of his success came when he had, you know, Johnny Manziel.
Which is a ridiculous human being.
He is. He's been rumored in a lot of NFL jobs. And if I'm Kevin Sumlin, I don't know that I don't start entertaining those. Like, if for whatever reason the Colts got smart and decided to fire Chuck Pagano, and all of a sudden, yeah, you know, hey, we want to hire Sumlin to work with Andrew Luck. I think Kevin Sumlin would be kind of crazy not to at least entertain that and possibly look at getting out. They're hard football team to figure out every year. Don't you feel like that? Like, I don't know. It's just every single year I have such a hard time deciding if they're good.
I haven't had a good sense of where they are since Manziel left. And then they did have that one. They started out the season with Kenny Trill, and they just only invested South Carolina. And I was like, okay, they're going to be good. Kenny Trill's September Heisman. And then they fell off, and then they were terrible. And Kenny Trill ended up transferring, and then they were terrible again last season. I just have never had a good sense since Johnny Manziel left.
Hey, we know who the September Heisman is this year.
If you say Lamar Jackson, he's the Heisman forever.
Lamar Jackson. He can be the September Heisman and the forever Heisman. Lamar. Hey,
that man is awesome.
Just so we're saying this on a podcast, we ride with Lamar Jackson until further notice. We're laying Lamar. We're calling this the Laying with Lamar 2016 tour. We're just going to lay and pray with Lamar Jackson until he does his 30, and I don't think it's going to happen.
I have two steady bets for the rest of the season. One, Robbie Callen taught me, go under on Vanderbilt always. They can't score points. They stink.
Yeah.
Then the other one, we ride with Lamar. He hasn't let us down yet. I thought we were coming for a big letdown against Florida State last week, and they just beat the crap out of them.
And he destroyed it. Oh, my gosh, he destroyed Florida State. With Lamar tour 2016.
Oh, I was sitting up in the Memphis press box. I'm typing about the game, and Devin Walker would be walking over to me. He was walking back and forth a bunch, and he'd go, Lamar Jackson just scored another touchdown. Lamar Jackson just scored another touchdown. It's 45-7 now.
So you're writing it, and our buddy Devin is just walking by, keeping you updated on
basically
the Laying with Lamar tour 2016. That's great.
He's all in on Lamar Jackson, too.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Devin seems like a Lamar Jackson kind of guy, so I'm glad to hear that. We did not choose the Louisville-Marshall game to throw in these picks, but if I had to guess, the line would be Louisville minus 85. I don't know how close I am, but that would be my guess.
I think you're a little off, but I would. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Do you want to come back to the Stanford UCLA game? We'll just jump right into LSU Auburn since we're kind of having planning Gus Malzahn's funeral.
We both have a lot of thoughts on this, I think.
So you had before you comment, you had LSU minus 3.5. I had LSU minus 6.5. You hit it on the money at 3.5. It is LSU minus 3 in the hook. What was your rationale there?
Well, neither team is good. LSU may be less good. So why not just favor them by a field goal and a half? That seems like the rationale for Vegas whenever you have two teams that are pretty not good like this. Like, they weren't going to make them, like, 1.5-point favorites. So I just both of these teams are so bad.
No, yeah, and they're, both of their head coaches are in a lot of trouble. I would say outside
loser goes home.
Mark Stoop. Mark Stoop, is that the Kentucky guy? That's his name, right?
Yes.
Or Stoop or something. Stoop. I don't know. The Kentucky guy's in a lot of trouble. That's all I know. I forget his name, but he's in a lot of trouble. Outside of him, I'm not sure anyone else is in more trouble than these two head coaches, Les Miles and Gus Malzahn. Vegas, they give a field goal to the home. They say home field advantage is worth a field goal. So if they're playing neutral, I guess it would be LSU minus 6.5. But 3.5 seems low, but not low enough for me to think about taking LSU. This is I don't know about you, this is a total stay away for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting anywhere near this. If Malzahn gets pounded, I mean, he's really in a lot of trouble. Like, he already is. If he gets pounded by LSU at home after losing by 2 touchdowns to A&M at home, it's not going to be good. I believe Malzahn and Butch Jones were hired in the same year. He may have been a year after, but it's close. They're right around the same spot. And you look at the two trajectories of the programs, regardless of what you think of Butch Jones, the trajectory of the two programs could not be going in further opposite directions. You know, I mean, it's Malzahn was awful last year, while Butch has just steadily built the thing up. And there are people that think Butch Jones can't coach football. So I guess that's – what does that say about Gus Malzahn?
I just think whoever loses this game, both of these coaches are getting fired at the end of the season. I would bet big money on both of those things happening. I think whoever loses this game is getting fired. Getting Lane Kiffin, don't get on the plane, you can drive home, fired at the end of this game.
You texted me a couple weeks ago, I think it was a couple weeks ago, that whenever Les Miles is no longer the coach at LSU, was it your dad that told you that he thinks it's going to be Lane Kiffin?
Well, he quoted Lane Kiffin at LSU. I really like it. It'd be such a change of pace. They don't have a quarterback. Lane would have to recruit one, but I like the idea.
Well, look, regardless of what you think of Lane Kiffin, he broke records in Alabama with the Sims kid. And that guy can't throw a football. I mean, I think he was trying to go to the NFL at some other position. So, yeah, I think Lane Kiffin, he'll be fine. Like, he's a good coach. I don't, you know, obviously being a Tennessee fan, I'm obligated not to like him. But he's a good coach, and I think he's probably earned a shot at another head coaching job somewhere. I know you know Kevin Hughes. I've had him on the podcast several times.
Oh, yeah.
We'll definitely – and I record one again at some point. But the first time we ever recorded a podcast together, I think it was last year, and it may have even been 2 years ago, but he was all in on Lane Kiffin to Miami, which to me is like a match made in heaven. But instead they went and got Mark Richt, the choir boy. So that I don't know. But, I could totally see it. I could totally see – Lane Kiffin roaming the sidelines of LSU and probably doing a really good job.
I don't think Miami wanted – so at Tennessee, Lane Kiffin had a really big problem with his players kept getting arrested. I don't think Miami wanted any problems with that. They've already had that issue so much in the past. Well, I think it would have been a perfect fit.
Yeah. Listen, every coach in Tennessee not named Butch Jones has a lot of trouble with guys getting arrested. And even Butch has had some trouble.
Yeah. I when the Memphis job opened, Lane Kiffin was the name that was floating out there as a guy that may want the job or may have been interested in the job. While I think they made the right hire in Mike Norvell, I think Lane Kiffin would have been equally as good hire.
I don't think he's going to leave for a smallish job like that.
No, neither.
I mean, he feels like, he's holding out for probably – like he would not have done the Muschamp take the South Carolina job. No way. Like, I think he's holding out for a pretty big job. Like, I told you, he's the head coach of Auburn.
Ooh. I could see that. I could see Auburn. I could see LSU.
How good would the Iron Bowl Saban versus Kiffin be?
Oh, my God. I mean, that would be – oh, my. That makes me so excited. Now I want that to happen more than him going to LSU.
I kind of do, too, and it's never crossed my mind until just now. That'd be perfect.
Absolutely. I can't believe Muschamp took that South Carolina job.
Terrible. He knows that's the best job he'll ever get again, so he's awful. It'll be a 3 or 4 year thing. Okay, but let's be fair. South Carolina, before Steve Spurrier showed up, was a terrible football program. And Steve Spurrier elevated that program to heights it had never been. And so it's not like – I think you've got a bad coach at a very average to below average SEC program. So I think he will rightfully put South Carolina back in their place. Their britches got a little too big for them the last few years.
That's so sad. I love South Carolina. They crack me up. This guy comes in here, did not deserve the job, did not deserve to get another job after what he did at Florida. You see what the Florida head coach was doing with his players. He won, McElwain won, like, what, 9 games last year with Muschamp's players?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Should have been 8. Shouldn't have beaten Tennessee, but whatever. I'm over it.
I don't think you are over it.
I'm not over the last 11 years. So you took that one. You hit that one right on the money. So it's 3-1-1. Stanford UCLA could not have gotten this one more wrong. Honestly, both of us were way off. You were just far less off than I was. You had 7.5, Stanford minus 7.5. Why?
I thought it would be way higher. And then – I think Vegas really likes UCLA for some reason. I don't understand why.
Chosen Rosen.
Get out of here with that. I don't think he's had not such a great year so far. He's thrown some interceptions. And for some reason, they really don't like Stanford, I feel like. And Stanford's really, really good at football. Like, I don't understand this. So I thought I was being conservative with that touchdown and half point. And, yeah, I was way off, I think.
We were both way off. I was far less conservative, and I said Stanford minus 11.5. It's Stanford minus 3.5. Neither of us were close. You were just way closer. Like, I was off by well over a touchdown. In fact, you would have hit it, or you would have been just a point off if it had been a neutral site game. It would have been 6.5. But, man, like, listen, I like Chosen Rosen just as much as the next guy, but 3.5? I mean, this seems like a Stanford rolling to victory win, right? I mean, it doesn't seem close.
Yeah. No. Your boy Chosen Rose, 917 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks with a 60.5 completion percentage. I don't think he's been good
this
season. Their leading rusher has 181 yards so far and 3 touchdowns this season. I'm not a big believer in them. They've given up. How many points did they give up to? They gave up 31 points to A&M, 21 to UNLV, and then they beat BYU by 3 points, and BYU's not good this season. So I'm not a big believer in the Pac-12 in general. And then you throw in the fact that they haven't been good this season, I don't see it.
So just to play devil's advocate, what I'd say is over my career in gambling, when these games seem too obvious, it's because there's something weird going on. Like, you know, the whole, like, Vegas knows thing, whatever. Like, that's not true. Vegas doesn't know. They throw out an opening number, and then basically the big bettors, the sharps, the guys that do this for a living, they then toss their money around, and the line will get adjusted accordingly. And so what this suggests to me is that there's something going on here that's not obvious to the general public. So I don't know what it is, and I found that when I'm significantly off or something just seems way too obvious, just stay away. Just don't touch it because you probably don't know something. So if this is a stay away for me, are you confident enough to lay the 3.5?
I already laid the 3.5. I was actually going to do it again right as you were talking, and I realized I had already done it.
Well, if it was 2.5, I'd feel better. But, like, you know, it's one of those weird things where, you know, Rosen plays well, Stanton McCaffrey can't get going. All of a sudden, Stanford has to kick a game-winning field goal, and you didn't have the hook. So, if it was 2.5, I'd maybe. But even then, like, I don't completely understand why Stanford isn't close to a double-digit favorite. So I think the line's way off, but this is a total stay away. You get this one. It's 3-2-1, our final game. This game was our biggest disagreement. You and I were 18 points off in what we guessed. Bowling Green, Memphis. You had Memphis -6.5. Why?
I've watched a lot of Memphis this season. I've been to the practices. I cover the team pretty closely. I don't think this game is going to be anything like the game was last year, where it's super high offense, a bunch of points put up on the board, blows by the over like in the second quarter. Bowling Green isn't good. But I think they could give Memphis some problems. I think Memphis is going to have to force some turnovers to win games because, as we've talked about a whole bunch off the podcast, we aren't – like, Riley Ferguson, Memphis's quarterback, has played 2 Division I football games. I don't know if he's ready for a game like this, and I don't know why Vegas had Memphis as double-digit favorites.
So I guess I had Memphis -24.5. And basically, my rationale was, look, they were 20-point favorites, anywhere between 20 and 21-point favorites against Kansas. And Bowling Green, let me look up their schedule this year. You know, last year they were great. They were my favorite team to bet on of all last season because, like, they had an incredibly high-powered offense and they covered basically everything. I think they went either 11-1 or 10-2 in the regular season against the spread, and I can look that up while we're talking. But okay, so this is what Bowling Green has done this year. They lost 77-10 against Ohio State, which totally reasonable. It was at Ohio State, and they got trounced, but that's fine. I mean, like, that happens. If Memphis went to Ohio State, the score would, you know, obviously be probably something
similar to that.
It'd probably
be about the same. Yeah.
Well, yeah, a little bit closer, but probably something similar to that. They played against North Dakota at home, beat North Dakota 27-26. They beat North Dakota by 1. Then they played Middle Tennessee at home and lost by 3 touchdowns. So Bowling Green's not good. They're not good this year. They're not like they were last year. And I thought that it would be somewhere similar to the Kansas game because obviously – as we know, we all know by now, Kansas is awful. And, like, it is the worst Power 5 Division I football team, probably honestly the worst Division I Power 5 football program in the country. But are they that much worse than Bowling Green? And so that was basically my rationale for it being -24.5. It's -16.5. So we were both off. You were off by 10. I was off by 8. So by default, I get it. But we were both way off. So basically, it was one of those, if you added our 2 and then divided it by 2, you basically got the line. So it's almost right in the middle. But 16.5, honestly, is not a bad number to lay. What are your thoughts on that one?
I would be really nervous about it. Like, this Memphis offense isn't where Norvell particularly wants it to be. They're not running enough plays. They're not scoring enough touchdowns. They can't run the ball against a good run defense. But Bowling Green's defense has not been good so far this season. They're giving up 49 points a game, and obviously that's a little inflated because of the 77 points Ohio State put on them. But Memphis's defense has been their strong point this season. I'm really interested to see what it does against Bowling Green. They lost Galen Scott, defensive coordinator, and pretty much their whole defensive staff was replaced when Norvell came in. And that's kind of been the X factor because they didn't lose much personnel or replace much personnel on the field. They brought in Jonathan Cook into safety. They brought in Austin Hall, who was a redshirted last year, who's playing the spur hybrid linebacker position, who's been very good this season. I think I could see them getting or covering the 16 points, but I'd be really nervous about it. I think this is a stay away.
That's fine. I don't blame you. By the way, 10-2 last year against the spread for Bowling Green. Just incredible.
Yeah.
They were great.
They were ridiculous.
They became my favorite team to gamble on. The reason I say it's not a terrible number is because 17 is a pretty normal football score. You know, two touchdowns and a field goal. So as long as you're staying under there, you feel okay. But I'm with you. There are obviously real concerns. I was a little bit surprised that Memphis covered. I took Kansas plus 3 touchdowns, and Memphis just drilled them. I mean, they won by five touchdowns. So,
yeah.
I was impressed. I was very impressed. Yeah, I mean, I was very impressed with what they did. I've been very impressed with Mike Norvell. At this point, you know, there's always a honeymoon period, whether it's with the media, with the fans, with the players.
Yeah.
And Mike Norvell certainly is in that, and deservedly so. He's a young, energetic guy who does great with the media. He's done great on the recruiting trail. At this point, it looks like he's done a pretty good job coaching the team. I mean, the early returns on him are – he's been good. I mean, he's been really good.
He has been, and he's installed this offense, which you've broken it down a bunch for the Helmsman, where he brought it over from Arizona State, and it looks a lot like what they did at Arizona State. He just needs to start plugging in that talent that he had while he was there. He has talent like that at some position, like he has Anthony Miller, and running backs are stacked. But I'm not 100% sold on Riley Ferguson this far into his NCAA football career, but we'll see. He could totally improve, but right now he looks a lot like Alex Smith out there right now.
Oh wow, Alex Smith, huh?
Like college football's Alex Smith right now.
I don't know. I'm in wait and see mode with Riley. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, that's how you
should games
be.
Against. Right, and you're right. I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying that's kind of where I am. Let's just wait and see. Let's see if he turns out to be good. But you're right. I mean, he hasn't done – he's not been perfect. No one expects him to be. But, you know, my thing is, and I wrote this week in the Helmsman, Memphis is not a factory for quarterbacks. And I think that it's sometimes fans get caught up in the, okay, we just saw the best quarterback in program history. Why is this guy not playing like that? And that can work against Riley, and that's tough. And the same thing could be said for Mike Norvell. It is never easy replacing a legend or replacing someone that's the best at a particular program. And that's what Riley Ferguson and Mike Norvell are both having to do right now, is they're having to replace the best quarterback-coach combination that Memphis has ever had in program history, Fuente and Paxton Lynch. So I think that – every once in a while, we just kind of take a step back and have some perspective on what those guys were able to do at Paxton and Justin Fuente, and then understand that, like, literally in the history of the program, that's as good as it's ever been. So if those guys aren't as good as they and it's ever been in program history, talking about Coach Norvell and Riley Ferguson, that's okay because they're still good. And, like, here we are sitting here talking about you and I. Memphis was just a 3-touchdown favorite against a Power 5 team. 5 years ago, it would have laughed in your face if you had told me they were a 3-touchdown favorite against a Power 5 team.
Absolutely. The Larry Porter era kind of, like, they weren't amazing under Tommy West, and then the Larry Porter era kind of destroyed everything. And then Fuente built everything from scratch. Without Fuente, we're not talking about the Big 12. We're not sitting here. This conversation would have ended 10 minutes ago. We're not sitting here talking about Memphis.
We're not talking about Memphis football 5 years ago.
Norvell has kind of taken the momentum and continued it with the recruiting especially, which was – I thought he was going to be a good recruiter, but I didn't think he was going to be getting 4 stars right away. I didn't think he would be pulling from Nashville, pulling kids away from Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi State right away, right off the rip. It's very surprising and very impressive.
So the rest of the season, obviously Memphis, they have the Bowling Green game. Then next week they jump right into Ole Miss, which is obviously, you know, it's a big rivalry game. It's Memphis's toughest game usually every year. But then you get into conference play. Temple, Tulane, Navy, Tulsa, SMU, South Florida, Cincinnati, and then they end. Well, those last two games are both big ones, Cincinnati and Houston. How many games do you think this team wins? I mean, because I was looking at it this week, and if you told me they won 9 games, I'd probably say, okay, I could 1,000% see that. If you told me they won 7 games, I'd probably say, okay. I mean, they might have lost one or two they shouldn't have, but I could see that.
I think 6 to 8 is the that Ole Miss game is not going to be a good barometer for where they are as a team. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just do this. Let's just go down the schedule. We'll say if we think it's a win or loss. But so I think you and I both agree Bowling Green's a win, and Ole Miss is a loss. So that puts them at 3-1.
Well,
against Temple, I think Temple's not as good as they were. What are you gonna say?
Yeah. Right now, I have them winning against Ole Miss. That's I don't.
Oh, you do have them winning against Ole Miss.
I don't have a very high opinion of Ole Miss right now. I think it's going to be one of those 13-7 games, 24-13. But as of right now, Ole Miss could come out and blow the doors off of Georgia, and I'll completely change my mind. But from what I've seen against Ole Miss, I've not been impressed. And then I have them.
You have them. I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. Do you have them winning or losing? It's simple.
Losing.
Losing. Okay, so 4-1 at Tulane. I would think at Tulane's probably a win.
Yes.
I would think at
Navy game.
Is a that's a toss up to me. They lost their quarterback, but man, that defense got they just got absolutely trounced by that offense.
Yeah, I think that's one of their most interesting games of the year. That Navy lost their quarterback. They played conference games against UConn and Tulane, so that's not a great barometer for where they are. And they haven't played anybody good. So we're going to see how good Navy is over these next 2 weeks. They play Air Force, then they play Houston, then they play East Carolina, which is, you know. Memphis could very well win that game because they lost their quarterback.
Right.
And, you know, I think they lost a few stars on defense, but – I think it's a good barometer for what helped this season.
Then they come back. Oh, so are we marking that down as a win or loss?
Tentative win.
Okay, so that would put them at 6-1 coming into the Tulsa game. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
Yeah, 6-1 coming into the Tulsa game. My guess is that's probably a win.
I think that'll be one of those that they should win, that they could lose. Maybe Tulsa has kind of better, more high-powered offense. Dane Evans won't stop throwing interceptions, though, which is in Memphis's favor because they've gotten so good at getting forcing takeaways.
Right.
Beginning of last season, then Paxton came out and just so, but they don't have that this year as of right now. But I could see that being a loss, but I have it as a win for right now.
Okay, so it's 8-1 at SMU. SMU may be starting to get a little bit better, but I still do not think that they are quite on Memphis' level yet. They could lose because it's an away game. You have to travel to Dallas. Kind of weird. I would be surprised if they lost that one, though.
Yeah, no, they won't lose that one. Conference by
right.
far.
So that puts them then at 9-1 heading into the game against South Florida at home, which is one that I do think that they could lose. I do. This could trip you up to South Florida. Always tricky. Always have really good athletes, but with the fact of being at home, I feel pretty good. Like I think Memphis up. 3.5-point favorite, if not more.
I could see that, but I think USF will be favored going into that game. Memphis is going to start losing steam near the season because they had an early bye week and a week 2 bye week, which they did not like. They did not want it. And then now they got to go USF, Cincinnati, Houston. And, well, we have them at 8-1 right now, I think. they'd probably lose. Are you sure? 2, 4, 6.
Maybe
whoever. Yeah, I think it's 8-1. That's that USF game at home. That I like USF's coach. I think they're kind of overrated. People have them as one of the best teams in the American Athletic Conference. I'm not so sure about that. They're going to Florida State this week, which they could trip Florida State up for a little bit, but I don't think it will be for long.
So you're marking that down as a win?
Loss. As a loss.
Oh, as a loss. Okay, so you're right. It's 8-2, traveling to Cincinnati. I think this is one, again, Memphis could very easily win, but I would probably put Cincinnati as like a 2.5, 3-point favorite.
Destroyed by Houston last Thursday, 40-16. Hunter Moore didn't really look impressive. They don't look as explosive as they did, as Memphis' defense made them look last year.
Right.
I think they lost a couple. I still think them going tough already. And then you just look at stuff. What's up?
You're breaking up. You're breaking up a little bit. Are you in a weird spot?
No, I don't know what's going on.
Okay, I can hear you good now.
Can you hear me?
All right, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
At Cincinnati, you were saying that they don't look as explosive as they were last year, but go ahead.
Yeah, they don't look as explosive. I don't think that defense is as good as they were last year, too. At times, they gave up an ungodly amount of yards and points to Memphis. But I think they had another level they could kind of get to. I still think Memphis is going to go in there and lose after you've got that loss right there to USF, and then right after is that Houston game, which every single person on that team is looking forward to that Houston game. They're looking forward to that Houston game more than they are looking forward to the Ole Miss game.
Is Houston the best team Memphis is going to play this year?
I
would not argue that.
I don't even think it's close.
That'd be 9-3, which is, like, I think that's their ceiling. Like, even if you switch the Ole Miss, like, say they lost to Ole Miss but beat Temple, which, you know, I don't think would really surprise anybody.
Yeah.
That'd also be 9-3. So, that's the thing. They just can't trip up against, like, they can't lose at SMU or they can't lose at Navy. I guess they can lose at Navy, but then they'd have to beat South Florida.
Yeah.
No, they'd have to beat both those teams, actually. I'm sorry. So that's the thing. Is it those conference schedules, that October 6th all the way through November 12th, where you've got Temple, Tulane, Navy, Tulsa, SMU, and South Florida. Like, they don't need to lose any of those. If they do, they don't need to lose multiple of those. Because even if they lose one and then say they lose to Ole Miss, Cincinnati, and Houston, that's still 8-4 with a chance to win 9 games in a bowl game. In Mike Norvell's first year, which I mean, I don't have the facts right in front of me, but I would have to guess that that's probably the most successful first year any Memphis football coach has ever had.
It's up there for sure.
At what point do Memphis fans or should Memphis fans be worried about losing Mike Norvell?
I don't know. He's said in the past that he's here for the long haul. He's here. I don't think first year, I wouldn't be worried about it after this year. I wouldn't be worried about it after next year. I think if he continues the trajectory, like the trajectory of the program is up because he's killing it on the recruiting trail, and the on-the-field product is just going to start getting better once he gets his own players in and he starts teaching, you know, what he wants, or he starts implementing what he wants with the talent level they have. Like, their secondary next year is going to be an SEC caliber secondary. And I don't think Memphis has ever had anything like that before. So if they keep winning 9 games, I mean, 3 years, somebody's going to come calling.
So this is a theory that I've never run by anybody, but it's something that I've been kind of looking at over the last few, I don't know, days or weeks or so. Should Memphis basically aim as a football program, now that they're on the upswing, they're starting to win games, should they aim to be something similar to what Cincinnati is? Both schools are in big cities. They obviously play in the same conference now. They've played in the same conference for a long time. There was a short period where they weren't. But they both play in the same conference now. You just look at some of, like, since 2004, Cincinnati has had Mark D'Antonio, Brian Kelly, and Butch Jones as their head coaches. All are at much bigger programs now, all incredibly successful. But basically, for a while there, they were keeping a coach for 3 or 4 years and losing him to a big program while maintaining a really good level of success as a football program. Like, Mark D'Antonio was basically the guy that kicked that off at Cincinnati. Do you foresee a possibility that maybe Justin Fuente is the guy to kick that off for Memphis?
I could see that for sure. It just depends. Like, Fuente going to Virginia Tech, he has to do well there. And then Norvell, I could see him leaving for a school like Baylor, one of those big Texas schools that are in the Big 12 or something that may not be doing so well in the next few years. But then you have to nail that third hire. And
right.
Memphis, I don't really talk about this, but the makeup of Memphis's athletic department and the person who made that, who helped make that hire, I mean, it could be different in 3 years. We don't know. We don't know what the situation is going to be in, but I could totally see them having a situation like Cincinnati. It's just about the continued success and making the right hires over and over and over again.
Right. That, it is tough. And, like, it is super impressive. Like, those three coaches, D'Antonio, Brian Kelly, and Butch Jones, I mean, they were literally back to that one after the other. Brian Kelly took over for D'Antonio, and then Butch Jones took over for Brian Kelly. And then they got Tommy Tuberville, who's been a very successful coach in the SEC and other places, to come there. And, you know, I think that he's probably going to be there for a while. So, yeah, that's tough. But that's just kind of the nature of the beast, isn't it, when you're basically a good football team, a good program, and a good spot, but you're not in a Power 5 conference. You really don't have a completely realistic shot of landing big-time recruits and then, you know, getting into the college football playoff. Like, it's possible. It happens. But it would be an exception as opposed to something that you expect year in and year out.
Absolutely. I completely agree with all that.
Oh, yeah. That'd be something. And I think you bring up an interesting point that if that's the situation you find yourself in, look, you got to hope that everyone stays intact at the top. You know, you hope that Tom Bowen stays because he's made a couple of really good hires. You know, he's had to deal with kind of a weird transitional period at Memphis, but I think he nailed Mike Norvell, and we'll see what happens with Tubby Smith, but I think there's a very high floor with Tubby. Like, Tubby's not going to be bad. I don't want to turn this into a basketball podcast, but, you know, I think, like, I don't know where you are, but I feel very comfortable about what Tom Bowen has done, and that I think Memphis fans should also feel very comfortable about what Tom Bowen's done.
Absolutely. There is a real chance coming into this summer that the Memphis athletic department could have fallen apart. Like, Mike Norvell could have been terrible, and then they had to replace Pastner. They could have messed that hire up, and then they went out and got Tubby Smith, who I know he's not the most exciting hire in the world. He's not a young guy who's going to go out. And what people wanted was a guy like Pastner without all the Pastner caveats. He was going to go out and get five-star players and be able to coach them up at the same time, and that was unrealistic. That's not something Memphis could get. And they went out and got Tubby, who – is going to bring stability to a program that has lacked stability for about 7 years now.
Yeah, I agree. I think Memphis fans should feel really good. And my guess is if they're going to be making a coaching hire in football in the next 2 or 3 years, it's because your program is awesome. And it's because you're having to replace a really good football coach who left to take a really good job. And we'll kind of wrap it up with this. Someone asked how much do I miss. I did a little mailbag thing, and we kind of cheated. I got a lot of our friends to submit questions, but one thing that someone asked was how much do you miss Justin Fuente? And basically the way that I look at it is perfectly fine to miss Justin Fuente and hope that he does well at Virginia Tech while also rooting for Mike Norvell and thinking that he's going to do really well. But, like, it's okay to be appreciative of what Justin Pointe did and say, man, you know, I miss that guy. And still at the same time, 100% support Mike Norvell. That's what I think, at least. What do you think?
I think that's the attitude most Memphis fans have adopted. There's not really any sour grapes with Fuente. It's like we saw it with the big game Virginia Tech and Tennessee had. Most Memphis fans were rooting for Virginia Tech because of Fuente. It's so weird seeing him on the sidelines in Virginia Tech colors without his Memphis, the little half zipper Memphis sweater he used to wear that was blue, and his hat. It's going to take some getting used to, and it's okay to miss him, but you can also be excited about what they have going on because there's a lot to be excited about.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm just kind of looking at this Cincinnati thing here. It has notable former coaches for Cincinnati. Listen to the guys that they've had since 1996. Now, obviously not all of these were head coaches. Some of these were coordinators, but just listen to some of these names. John Harbaugh, Rex Ryan, Jimbo Fisher, Mike Tomlin, Mark D'Antonio, Pat Narduzzi, Brian Kelly, and Butch Jones. That is incredible. They have three now current NFL head coaches in Jimbo Fisher on top of D'Antonio, Narduzzi, Brian Kelly, and Butch Jones. That is incredible. Shout out to Cincinnati from 96
That's
on. They've had some ridiculous that really is. I, to be honest, had no idea that John Harbaugh, Rex Ryan, and Mike Tomlin all coached there. Let's see, Tomlin was a defensive back coach, Rex Ryan was a D coordinator, and John Harbaugh was special teams coordinator. So that's incredible. Congratulations, Cincinnati. You do a great job hiring coaches. Jonah, thank you so much for doing this. Do you have anything that you would like the good people to go read over at 24/7 Sports?
We're about to have a bunch of game coverage go up today. Get ready for the game against Bowling Green tomorrow. Just come follow me on Twitter @_JonahJordan. That's where it'll all be.
Absolutely. If you're not doing that, I don't know what you're doing. Jonah, thanks a lot. Hey, what'd you think of the way the intro came out? I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, it was so good. I watched you work on that for 2.5 hours yesterday. I'm kind of proud of you that you figured it out.
So for anyone who doesn't know, I have zero abilities to make sounds, make videos. It is remarkable that I've been able to figure out how to record my voice and get to where
Chip,
people can listen to it.
Chip knows
how
to work Word. He knows how to pull up a Word document. That's about it.
Hey, I even made our picks in an Excel spreadsheet.
Oh,
that's
man.
Pretty good.
This is getting
pretty good.
You're
going to
be better
good.
Than me one of these days.
Jonah, thanks a bunch. Hey, we're going to let the Wu-Tang Clan take us out one more time. Thanks
yeah,
a bunch, man.
Let's do it. Thanks, man.
Solomon's ancestors. Yo.
Yo, what's up, son?
What's up, kid?
What's going on, kid?
Yo, man, I'm just doing my thing, man.
The New York Times side, staying alive was no job, at second hand, moms bounced on old man, so then we moved to Shaolin Lane.